About a month ago, well, weekly anyway at work, every Wednesday afternoon, we get together and have a supervisor's meeting where we're supposed to learn stuff and be able to imply it to pass it on to everyone else there at work. And they let us know what we haven't been doing quite so good at and such. And about a month ago, we had a new manager in it, since my manager decided to go to Hawaii and work there. It was better for him, I guess. But so we had a brand new manager, and he decided that we need to have a refresher course on our human resources side of things, which is absolutely the worst thing to have to sit through after you've been at work for over 7.5 hours to start with. Because the company puts this together to try to make sure there is no way in the world, no matter what anybody does, whether they live, die, you know, break their arm, don't break their arm, break somebody else's arm, there's no way it can come back to them. This is purely a, we're covering ourselves, and you guys better cover yourself too, because as you know now, supervisors can be sued just like everybody else. That was how we led off the conversation and turned into quite a conversation. But after thinking about it, because he brought it up saying he had already had quite a few complaints, even though he'd been there 2 days, you get that. But it, of course, he wouldn't name names or tell you which supervisor that they were. You got to thinking about, well, what have I been doing that might possibly have gotten somebody to go to the manager already or something I've done? And while I couldn't find anything at work, I really thought I was in really great shape. Haven't had anything to in my life that I thought, well, I don't, everything I do is fine, you know. Well, then I drove home, you know, and other drivers on the road maybe realized that I don't do quite so well in treating everyone fairly or the same. Because I have a problem anyway, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, being as I've witnessed other people standing in my yard yelling at people for driving too fast. Hi, Nathan. Or the blue motorcycle that goes by you at Mach 2 on 163. Don't worry, I don't drive 163, so it's not me. But you always think, okay, well, bye. Hope you get where you need to as quick as you can, or you pray at the guy tailgating the motorcycle or tailgating the semi. Well, they'll get what's coming to them. Not that we're praying for a wreck or anyone to get hurt, but maybe they really shouldn't be that close to my hitch if they're on my back bumper. So I realize I've got to work my way around some of this too. So I went through how I treat people and how I'm supposed to treat people, and I started in 1 John chapter 5. And starting in the first verse. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, and we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Okay, so that tells us that if we love him, we're supposed to love the children of God. Well, that's not too difficult. I mean, I can look around the room and I don't have any enemies or sitting in the crowd that I know of. I even trust to sit in front of Derek. He's not going to stab me in the back real hard. Just softly. But. So we can love our brother, and that's not difficult, right? Well, sorry, I just got off track where I was. Went to Galatians 5. Just verse 14. Galatians 5:14 says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Okay, I can love my neighbor. I mean, the one behind me is my mother. I'm going to get in trouble if I don't. But I can love my neighbors. That's not a big deal. But is that the only neighbors I have to love? Jesus was asked this question in Luke 10. And it says, and the gentleman, whoever it was asking, a certain lawyer was asking Jesus in verse 29, he wanted to justify himself. So he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus went through the parable of the Good Samaritan. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you." So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And the lawyer said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." So obviously the Samaritan probably didn't know this gentleman. I mean, it doesn't imply anywhere that they had any connection beforehand. Just implies he saw him laying there, okay, fixed him up, took him to the inn, took care of him, made sure he was set to be continued taken care of, and he departed right away. So my neighbor can be anybody I pass on the road. So whether it's the person that passes me on a double yellow or the person I feel like passing on the double yellow, it's still my neighbor. Fact, Hebrews 13:2 reminds us to entertain angels. That reminds us to entertain angels. Okay. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Boy, that opens it up to everybody. Whether I know him or not, I better be good for him. Now, as I said earlier, I don't have any enemies in this room. And really, going back through my life, I don't remember having enemies. Maybe it's the joy of the world we live in. I've had certain kids in school that, I was bound to determine to make sure I was the one that came out on top in whatever competition. But we're still friends. We're not enemies. And in fact, it's the closer friend you are, the more likely I'm going to make sure I beat you. But we're even told to feed our enemies. Proverbs 25, verses 21 and 22 say, "If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For so you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you." So we're told to feed and give him food and water, and this will just make him burn up with anger. Well, if he was truly my enemy, I could see where the physical side of me says, "All right, that's a good thing. I'll feed you and give you water all day long." But that's not what we're to do it for. Went to 1 Corinthians 13. And starting in verse 1. Make sure I'm in the right Corinthians. Okay. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So I guess to feed our enemies and give them water isn't enough, but you have to do it lovingly. If we don't have love behind it, no matter what actions we do. He said he had faith to move mountains, and if anybody had faith to move mountains, it was Paul. He went through an awful lot just because he was told to. But his faith, even his faith, was worth nothing if he didn't have love for the people. So I actually have to love my enemies, as Matthew 5:44-48 says. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. I guess the line that really applies to me, well, I better give some background. As part of that HR conversation, we were told basically if I say hello to one person, I better say hello to the other 57 working. That way nobody can be offended that I didn't say hello to them. So that didn't really hit home until I got to verse 3 there. Or, I'm sorry, I'm looking at one page and reading another one off my hand. And it says, if you greet your brethren only. So we've got to greet everyone. Which is fine. I'm not sure he means that literally. If I'm walking down the street in New York, if I start saying hi to everybody, I'm going to create more than my fair share of odd responses and maybe traffic issues. But we've got to be open to everyone and be ready to help everyone. Went to Proverbs 10:12. I enjoy going to Proverbs just as much as Derek does. But Proverbs 10:12 says, "Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins." And looking at it, if I had my doubts when I started the lesson about, I was wondering how much the love would cover up all sins as far as our love for each other, but I think I've figured that out going through here. But hatred does. It divides people. It makes people upset at each other. If I spend more time with Nathan, or Destry instead of Nathan, Nathan's going to get upset. I know because he'll text me and tell me. But so you have to be conscious of how you're doing. And with the 1 Peter 4:8-9, which reads, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. You can't just have love for one another. We have to have fervent love for one another. But a fervent love is one that you constantly are thinking about. It's constantly, you have to be, you're always thinking of the other person, always in line for that next one. Okay, what can I do for him now? Okay, that's done. What can I do for him now? So I got to looking at the definition of love. I went back to 1 Corinthians 13, looking at verses 4 through 6 now. That reads, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. So love is long-suffering. If you truly love somebody, you're more likely to take a little bit, any unintended slights that you get. Love does not envy. I love you, and I'm not out to get what you have. Love is not puffed up. It's not a proud thing. It's just, you're not worried about pride at all. It does not seek its own. Love is very much about for the other person. Nothing about love says myself. It's all about the other person. And I like that love is not a provoked thing. Provoked means it's a reaction. Provoked means you poked me one too many times, now I'm going to chase you across the room. Take that to note, Nathan. But love doesn't rejoice in iniquity. If I love you, I'm not going to be happy when you trip and you fall down, when you sin. That doesn't do anything for me. But rejoice in the truth. And love bears all things. No matter what comes, we've got to love each other. Went to Colossians 3. Starting verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Instructs us on how to love, especially oftentimes we want to suppress any, if we are slighted, we hold on to it for a little bit and then just kind of put it in the back of our mind. No, we're supposed to just put that off and ignore it. Forgive it as God forgave our sins. And it says that he doesn't hold our sins against us, remember them. Went to Galatians 5 again. And starting in verse 19, as we're familiar with, it lists the works of the flesh. It says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. And I got thinking of all those works of the flesh. Which ones can't be corrected by love? If you truly love the person, okay, adultery is taking something that's not yours, or taking, that's not going to happen with love. Neither is fornication, lewdness. If you love the other person, and uncleanness, you're gonna stay away from those. Idolatry, we love our Lord, so we're gonna stay away from it. We're gonna stay away from sorcery for love. Hatred is anti-love for all practical purposes. Contentions divide us instead of putting us together. Love will take care of that. Jealousies, love isn't jealous, says we don't envy. Outbursts of wrath, if I love you, I'm hopefully going to be able to control myself and not go off at you. That's the goal. Selfish ambitions, love is not selfish. Dissensions, love wants unity, not separate. And heresies would also get divided out. Envy's out. I love you, I'm not going to murder you. Murders is out. Drunkenness, oftentimes, love would take care of the reason for the drunkenness, whatever it may be. And revelries, you're partying hard enough that trying to, if you love each other, you're not going to put yourself in that regard. So did I miss any? Nope. Every single one of them, I think, can be covered with love. Knocks out every single work of the flesh there. And instead, it gives you the fruits of the Spirit, starting in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So that's all our goals. The love and joy and peace and the long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Got one more chapter to go to. It's Romans 12. Starting in verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Given to hospitality, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much depends on you. Live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink, for in doing so you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So throughout this, we did learn that love covers everything, covers all sins. And while I hope it doesn't take an HR class for any of you else to figure this out, it did for me, for everyone, I guess. So I guess I had learned who all it applied to instead of just applying it to who I wanted it to apply to. But at this time, we're going to offer the invitation, and hopefully you guys can put some of this to use in your life also. If anyone has anything they need help from the church or would like to enter the love of Christ and what he's done for us, dying and for our sins and being resurrected so they can become united with God in heaven, you can come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.